Welcome to Inner Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk about everything video games with your host, Dan Giofue and Rage Quit Pat.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 50. Yes, the big 50. I am Rage Quit Pat. Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement. Of course, I am joined by Dan the Pizza Man. You can listen to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Pandora. Dan the Pizza Man, what is going on? We have a very special episode today, but first we got a couple, some news really quick before we bring on our guest of honor. But anyway, Dan the Pizza Man, how are you?
What is going on, man? Oh, man, episode 50, man. I'm just about the same age as you, so.
Yeah, almost. I mean, in 20 years, I'll be 50 years old, but, you know, we'll see. Only, you know, I know time flies by, but let's not rush things here, my friend, okay?
I'm excited for this episode. It should be a fun episode, so I'm looking forward to how this all goes down.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a couple news things to break here, of course, before we bring our our guest of honor. So as Dan and I are, we are heavy Rainbow Six streamers. Of course, I have decided going forward, every single Rainbow Six stream will have a pun as the title going forward. So look out for those. But big news out of Rainbow Six. It was a lot of big news. Rainbow Six has decided to do a two-year roadmap, right? That is 24 months. So year five, as we all knew, has been confirmed. And year six has officially been confirmed. So real quick, Dan, what do you think about that news that Rainbow Six has a 24-month plan going forward?
I think they're dropping the 2 years. I think year six will be the last one. Because I have a feeling that they're going to be pumping out a new Rainbow Six. But I'm excited because I do like this game a lot. I really like, where it's gone. You know, everything that's become. The reworks have been pretty decent. You know, they brought in a battle pass. So, I mean, they're still working on the game really well. So I'm excited to see what the next 2 years bring to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And also what's crazy here before we get to the actual news they talked about is that it is confirmed for PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. And we are going to get cross-generation capability. So you're going to be playing cross-gen. So that's a first as well. So I believe Rainbow Six is the first game to announce that cross-generation multiplayer. So that's really exciting. But the only thing that I'm concerned with is that I'm assuming Do you think we can drag over our accounts? That, you know, I know Xbox pretty much just have to log in and your account's right there. So I'm assuming your stats will go over. Am I correct or am I wrong on that?
The stats will move over. I mean, they're all using the same servers, so yeah. The servers aren't really changing at all. You're just going to log in with the new console, but your stats, characters, everything should be there.
Okay, I figured that. I just wanted to. I guess I just wanted you to correct me if I was wrong, but you know, it's some crazy news. They introduced a lot of news, so let's get started with the news with the 2 year roadmap. You know, the 2 year roadmap promises toxicity tools. Dan's favorite house is getting a rework, and of course, you know, we talked about next generation. But let's get on to the operators here. We got some new operators going on here. Just bear with me as I go on around to try to find out. But here we go. Before we get to the operators here, we have an arcade playlist that they're going to be working on. A two-year plan puts increased emphasis on the events and a new arcade playlist. These are smaller events that happen more frequently with gameplay modifiers to freshen up the experience and let us test some things. So what do you kind of think? Oh, here we go. The first event will be Golden Gun, a homage to N64's GoldenEye, in which all players are solely armed with a hilariously overpowered gold-plated Desert Eagle that needs reloading after every shot. Now, you know, we both played GoldenEye, remember? And we talked about it on the podcast, man, with the Golden Gun. Probably one of my favorite gameplays in
Huge.
GoldenEye.
I love that game so much.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to see that come to Rainbow Six. I mean, I was reading this the other day, and I was like, what? GoldenEye? Oh, my God, dude. It's going to bring back memories of GoldenEye. Hopefully, you know, it's a fun mode like GoldenEye, but I mean, only time can tell, and I'm excited. I'll definitely play this mode.
Yeah, and they've been coming out with a lot more and more frequently. I know they have the stadium thing going on. They did Halloween, which was a lot of fun. They also did, I believe, the bear one was pretty funny. I enjoyed that one. I don't know if you tried that one. Did you ever try that one or
the stadium? I haven't tried. The only event I've played was the Wild West one.
Yep.
That's the only event I
yeah,
played.
That one I didn't like. That event I did not like. I wasn't a big fan of the Wild West one.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, I played a little bit of it. I mean, I don't know, man. It was just weird. I mean, I just couldn't get used to that whole thing. But the stadium looks cool. I do want to try the stadium. I don't know if it's still going on or not, but
I mean, it's not bad. It's basically just a stadium event. It's has the ranked, basically, playlist. You pick band and everything like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's pretty cool. And then there's commentary in the background, which is a lot of fun. But Operation Void Edge, very excited for this one. Really looking forward to this. But big news is I think this might be the last time we get two operators going forward. You know, also Rainbow Six, they also Ubisoft announced that going forward they're going to be only releasing one operator per season. And they're going to be more focusing on gameplay tweaks. But we'll get into that in a second. But let's talk about the first operator, the attacker, Ayana. You know, her ability, basically, from what we see on the a lot of times in the gameplay, is it seems like it's a holographic drone. So she deploys a hologram, and you could kind of go through the map and see where the enemies are and everything. But once they shoot it, it goes away. So it kind of seems like kind of like a mixture of Halo and your drone right now. What did you kind of get from those the gameplay videos?
I thought she was awesome, man. You're able to throw like a hologram, and you're able to control the hologram to run in and check out that surroundings, like as you were running in yourself. I thought that was pretty awesome and a little bit overpowered. And I'm just curious that from the standpoint of me being a defender, looking at that, how does that look? Can you tell it's a hologram, or does it look like a real person?
Yep.
But that's really cool, man, and I would love to try her. Would she be a main of mine? No, but I would definitely have fun with her in the casual.
Yeah, absolutely. So here are the weapons that we have for her. It's the ARX-200, which is that's also been in Siege. Nomad has that gun, and then the G36, which is Ash uses that. So I wonder. I mean, both good primary weapons. You know, the G36 I've always felt was underrated before I found out Ash's other, R4. But not bad. And then, of course, you have the secondary, the MK1 9mm as the secondary. And then, of course, her gadgets are frag grenades and smoke grenades. She's a 2 armor and a 2 speed. And now here's actually a little bit better information on her, you know, specialty, Gemini Replicator. In short, Gemini is a remotely controlled holographic copy of Ayana. When she deploys it, she can scout ahead with little to no consequences. It can move and produce sound like she would, but obviously cannot shoot, melee, or use secondary gadgets. So the Replicator also has a time limit, or it can be exited at any time. There's a cooldown between two users, which is longer if it's destroyed. And also the enemies, if they spot it, they can shoot it out. So basically, long story short, it is a holographic drone. So, and it's timed. So definitely going to be very useful for I wouldn't say rush attackers, more so strategic attacking, like the slow and methodical. You know, maybe you could run her with Lion. That would be pretty cool. I definitely, or Dokkaebi. So, I mean, I would watch out for those strats, definitely.
Yeah, I think 15 seconds for her ability could be a little long. I mean, I think 15 seconds is a lot of time to be able to scout a room without being shot at, I would think. So I'm not sure how I feel about 15 seconds. I think over time they're actually going to cut that down a little bit, because I feel like it is going to be a very OP ability. And I mean, it's awesome though. I mean, it's really awesome. No complaints on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and what's been doing good lately with Siege, with a lot of their updates, is that a lot of the operators haven't been OP. I mean, you know, of course, Lion definitely was OP, but Fink has kind of, you know, still been the same. I never really felt she was too OP. They've been moving around a lot of tweaks. They've done a really good job of not making the newer DLC operators OP compared to Season 1 with Blackbeard, Ella, who just got a buff in the more recent update. So but she's not as powerful as she used to be, definitely. But, you know, Kavir,
I never found her OP at all. I mean, you can tell that those were holograms, so I didn't see really a big deal with her. I do like her at times, but I just can't get used to her weapon.
You mean Alibi or Alibi?
Yeah, Alibi.
Yeah, Alibi's weapon is very weak. I mean, it's pretty much head aim for the head for Alibi's weapon. You know, she does have a cool ability. I do like her as well, but man, that weapon is just weak. It is really weak. You have to get headshots in that weapon. That's pretty much the end game of that. You don't get a headshot, then definitely be really good at crouch shooting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just gotta do that quick hip fire.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, now we're gonna go to the defender, Oryx. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. But let's get down to the weapons. It's a Spaz 12, the MP5, the Bela 410, the USP 40, and his gadgets. He has barbed wire, bulletproof camera, and he also is a 2 armor and a 2 speed. Now he is very, very interesting. The Rima Dash. So basically, you could power right through walls, but you do sacrifice 10 health if you power through those walls. And also, if the hatches are broken, this is really interesting now because this changes the gameplay. If you should maybe put a claymore by hatches now, he could actually climb up open hatches for, you know, definitely quick rotations. And also peek, or, you know, of course, wait for the perfect moment to go up. What do you think about that change of gameplay with, you know, powering through, you know, breakable walls? But again, you sacrifice 10 HP. But definitely the most interesting thing is the climbing through hatches. I think that's really, really interesting.
Dude, I like this character a lot. I think it's awesome that he can break through walls. I mean, they do have to be soft walls. It can't be reinforced, obviously. And then he can also hit enemies to the ground with his charge. Angle up hatches? Dude, that is so awesome. This guy, though, I could definitely see him being a main character that I can use often because that's freaking awesome. He's a defender, so I could see him more as a little bit more of a roamer and then trying to hit the behind on a pinch. But him going up hatches is awesome. Like, I never thought they would bring that into the game, and I think they did a pretty good job with that. But now, as a person who's attacking, you're going to have to be cautious of where those hatches are, and are you going to start dropping claymores at that hatch or not?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely changes the gameplay style, and I do agree with you as far as a roamer go. This is a really interesting roamer because we're always used to people throwing impact grenades at the walls or C4. Now, this is a different, you know, dynamic. Let's say I want to give you a scenario. If you have 30 health HP, would you risk powering through walls? You know, that is a question, you know. And of course, I'm even going further. Maybe you have 26 HP, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, very interesting tactic to go through breakable walls. Let's take a look at the setup. You know, instead of sacrificing an impact grenade, you know, you maybe could just sacrifice 10 HP, you know what I'm saying? I mean, some people, you know, they get Twitch shocked, which Twitch is getting she's getting fixed a little bit too. And, you know, we look at Twitch, her drone, I think it bumps, hits you like you get 5 HP or 10. I believe it used to be 10, but I don't remember.
I think it's not 10 anymore.
I know they're going to change it. It was 10, so you're right. You are right. It is 10. So, and you know, most people get Twitched, and they already lose 10 HP. So maybe now players could pick this character, and instead of sacrificing maybe a much-needed impact grenade if they face off against a Blitz or a Montane, they can actually just, there you go, just power right through. You have 90 HP. Don't have to sacrifice anything. So I think definitely a easy and much better strategy for defenders on the setup, especially for maps on bomb that require you to blow the walls. Like, do you agree with that, or how do you feel about that as well?
I mean, I like that. It's probably one of the best things they could have done. I mean, I for me personally, I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. I think it's gonna, you know, change how things are done. I mean, would I waste life on it? No, absolutely not. Especially not at the start of the round, because
you're being greedy.
You know, well, no, man. I mean, one HP is a big difference in that game. You can survive on 1 HP. You can get shut down to 1 HP. And how about if I use some of that HP for a wall? And then I needed that one extra HP, but I use it on a damn wall. No. So I don't think I'll do that. I think if I knew there were people in a room and I knew where they were in that room, I would bust through that wall shooting.
I still think you're being greedy.
Absolutely not.
Really quickly, also, those are the new operators. Of course, there's some rework maps. I'm actually really surprised that this one's getting a rework. In my opinion, I felt like it did not really need a rework, but that's Oregon. In my opinion, I thought the map was fine. I never really felt that there was a disadvantage for defender and attackers, but apparently Ubisoft and the Siege, power players, the pro players at B felt so. Just to kind of break it down really quickly, all this serves to make rotations easier and safer for both attackers and defenders. Stay alert, though, as more breakable walls have been introduced all over the map. So when we looked at the video, there is a difference. There is definitely a big difference. And so far, they've done pretty good with the map reworks. I'm not going to deny that. But in my opinion, I felt like this really did not need a rework. I didn't really see much disadvantages on either side. How do you feel about the rework?
I mean, I like some of the reworks that they've done with the big tower and the connections to the hallway and to the kitchen. I really like that. There's some parts of that map that were really a big pain in the ass. And I like how they did all the rework on the first floor and the bottom floor, because those two parts are the worst. The second floor I liked. Second floor didn't bother me. I do like how they did on the second floor with the kids' room. They changed that up a bit, which I do like that. But I'm happy they reworked it, because I wasn't the biggest fan. Especially, I hate that tower, man. That tower is like a peeker's fun absolutely. Spot. So now that they're making more ways to the tower, different connections, making it look different, putting windows in different spots and new door connections to tower and stuff, I like it. And I can't wait to give this rework a nice little try.
Yeah, definitely. I know you're excited in the future. They're reworking House. Definitely, I think that one is in much need of a rework, because it is a fun map, yes, but it is, you could just blow up. I mean, that thing is a earthquake waiting to happen. Like, every floor, every wall is it's a mess. I'm definitely happy they're going to rework it, and I'm definitely excited if the rework is really good, well done, that it's back into ranked. Really quickly, what's your thoughts on the rework of House? Because we all know that's your favorite map.
Dude, I love House, man. And I've been sad that you could barely even play it in casual. And if they rework map, if they rework House and they put it back into rank, that'll make me happy. But for me, I feel like House didn't need a rework. I thought House was good the way it is. And I like laying down on the ground and peeking out one window. Everybody likes to climb up from the outside. Those were easy kills.
Yeah, absolutely. I
liked it. I had no problems with House. And now I'm a little sad they're reworking it. But if they rework it and bring it back into rank, I'll be happy.
All right.
Just don't kill too much.
So real quickly, we'll also run down the other stuff they're doing. Barricade debris consistency is also they're fixing. So really quickly, to avoid the situation, the frustration that comes with it, partially breaking a barricade with a weapon or a melee hit will now create a much smaller debris. So definitely looks like it'll fix the issue with when you hit a door or a window, that stupid debris will not crop down in front of your face. So definitely seems like it'll help spawn peeking a little bit better. And this one is good, finally. It only took 5 years. The attacker's drone spawn will finally spawn where you spawn. So it's not finally going to spawn somewhere completely random. It'll finally spawn where you spawn. So it only took 5 years, but finally, here we are. Of course, a new player hub as well. And here we go. Here is the quick Legion and Twitch changes. Now, some big changes to both characters, which definitely is changing a lot. Legion, let's see. He will no longer be able to see his goo mines through obstructions of any kind or from a certain distance. So, no longer, let's say you lay down a goo mine, if it's maybe two walls down, you're not going to see it. So, it makes, I think definitely much more interesting for attackers. I think definitely easier for attackers due to the fact that now when we get hit on a Goomine, Legion, or the other defending operators are not going to know exactly where that Goomine is because, you know, we look, let's say Legion's not even there, but his Goomine goes off. He knows where it went off. There may be another defender there. So now basically you got to kind of be in the vicinity to know where that Goomine went off. So definitely.
Well, I usually just listen for it anyway. I wait for it to hear the little canister. Ow!
Yeah, exactly. Nah. Yeah, what I'm saying is definitely going to have to stay a lot closer now if you're I think this definitely works out a little bit more for defenders that kind of lay back rather than roamers, definitely. Also, the Goomine will no longer give initial damage. So when you step on it, you could take it out. But, of course, if you leave it in there, that's when you'll finally...
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, and then it says, of course, take it out before it becomes a problem. But, of course, they increase the tick's damage from 4 to 6. So we highly recommend to take it out right away. Even though there's no initial damage, take that damn thing out. And downed operators will no longer take any damage from Goomines. So there's that. That's what they're doing for Legion. Thoughts?
Well, I do like that you can take it out quick. And it only makes sense that they actually increase that tick damage if they're doing that. So I do like that. And I didn't even know down players took damage from Goomines. Mm-hmm. I never went down from a Goomine. So, but I do like that he no longer, you know, gets that notification that someone stepped on his mine unless if he's close. So I do like that part. And I think it's a good rework for Legion's equipment. No complaints here on that. I mean, well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that as well. Definitely, it's going to be interesting, and he won't be as OP. I mean, I wouldn't even say he's OP, but his Goomines would not be as OP. So now Twitch really quickly. Twitch, and then we'll jump on the games of March. Twitch is all getting some changes. Her Shock Drone will now start with only 3 shots, but it'll have a cooldown system similar to Echo's. Its firing power has also been reduced to 1 point of damage, and this serves to turn Twitch's focus to defender's utility while keeping her drone relevant over the duration of the round. So now her drone is now really important. Now you really just want to focus on taking out maybe Jaegers or Capcans or Mozzies or Ellas. And now it's an Echo drone, so now it's on a cooldown. So that's really interesting as well. And, you know, they've made a lot of tweaks to Twitch's drone. Definitely much needed. I do like this one. I mean, man, remember Twitch's drone used to have 15 shots, and pretty much you could just take out every single camera on the map. So definitely you're going to have to be using Twitch's drone much more strategic.
I just
got
a fucking player with that.
Yeah, definitely have to be much, much more strategic with Twitch's drone. So I do like that. And you just had some input, so you have any what else you got?
No, I mean, I like it. 30-second recharge, 3 shots at start, and it's going to be like, I just lost train of thought there for a second. It's going to be like the, did I just lose train of thought? The Yoki B drone. So it's going to be like his every 30 seconds. I do
Echo,
like that.
Echo. Yeah.
The Yokai drone. Sorry,
yeah, the Yokai
drone.
There you go, Yokai.
3 shots instead of 5, maximum carry of 3, so you can't recharge over 3 shots. I do like that, and it's going to change how Twitch thinks about her moves. And I think it's a great job, and now it's reduced mm-hmm. HP damage, even better. So I really like that, and I think ADS Gadget's health also reduced to 1 HP. So
yeah, that's... definitely really worth it. And then, of course, there's a new elite skin, Ash, and she looks like Lara Croft, so that's pretty badass. So I would definitely...
The one thing is, with Twitch, the F2 recoil was increased.
Yes. Well, there goes that as well. They've made a lot of changes to Twitch, but I'm very excited for Year 5, Operation Void Edge. Definitely, I know it's on the test servers right now because us console players get screwed, but it's definitely on the test servers on PC. So definitely, if you're looking to check it out, definitely would check that out, of course, on YouTube and stuff like that. But Void Edge looks very exciting, and a lot more Siege to come, Year 5, and then, of course, Year 6. So very exciting. So now,
real quick.
Yep.
A few players actually lose their claymores as well this coming year. So Ying and Nuke. No, is that how you pronounce her name?
Nuke? Don't matter.
Knock. They lose their claymores and they're both getting frag grenades instead.
That's not bad. I think, you know what, she already, I don't think they really need claymores, those players.
Yeah. All right, we can continue.
All right. So let's get on to our games of March. Couple good games. So this is when kind of the video games start to pick up a little bit, depending on what system you have, of course. Neo, a lot of people jumped all over that on PlayStation 4. Many people, I'm sure, are excited for the sequel. That is March 13th. For baseball fans on PlayStation 4, this is the final year that MLB is exclusive to the PlayStation 4. Next generation going forward, it's going to be on both consoles. So that is March 17th, MLB The Show. And, of course, the game that Nintendo fans have been waiting for, which is Animal Crossing New Horizons. That's dropping March 20th. And on the same day, Doom 64 and Doom Eternal is also dropping March 20th. So, Dan, anything besides, I'm sure, Animal Crossing, correct? Because we talked about being in the same town and everything like that.
Yeah, Animal Crossing is definitely, like, number one on my list. So I cannot wait for Animal Crossing. And, of course, you forgot a game that's coming out next month, Bless Unleashed, you know. Also, what I'm excited for, you know, that's coming out on Xbox only, MMO. So, that and Animal Crossing, two games I'm pretty stoked about.
Yeah, Animal Crossing, I definitely, you know, we've been waiting for a long time for this to be on console. The last time I was on console was the Wii. And that one was pretty much, I felt like, more of an add-on. And then, of course, we got the really good 3DS version. Unfortunately, no, it wasn't on the Wii U or anything like that. But I'm definitely very excited. And there's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow for Animal Crossing. So I'm sure they're going to be showing a lot of good gameplay. So definitely, if you are interested in Animal Crossing, check out that Nintendo Direct. And, you know, I'm a big baseball fan, so I am excited for MLB The Show. And Doom, I know that got pushed back. Originally, it was for November. But with a lot of the games coming out completely like garbage, I'm sure, you know, Bethesda was like, let's push this back a little bit. ID Software is like, yeah, let's push this back a little bit, make sure this game is completely finished. And then, of course, you get the classic Doom 64 coming out as well. But, you know, this is when the games are starting to ramp up. You know, it's crazy, though, with all the pushbacks. I know I said that a lot of these are when the game's starting to ramp up, but I kind of look at the list. And, yeah, I mean, it's not bad compared to what it originally was supposed to be, because I believe originally in March we were supposed to get Final Fantasy, but that got pushed back to April. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's still going to be a good year for gaming. I think it'll still be a good year.
Yeah, I think it will be a good year. I think a lot of games are getting delayed, which is fine, but, you know, it's only going to make that next-gen console even better because we're going to have better games and better graphics, hopefully. I mean, that's what your thought is in your head, at least. So, I'm fine with some delays, you know, as long as they eventually come out and I get to play them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Animal Crossing, to jump back on that real quick, I can't wait. I mean, and that idea of eight people living in a town together. So, yes, definitely, I hope they show a lot more gameplay because they really haven't shown much. Like, is Tom Nook still going to rip us off? Like, that's what I really want to know.
I want to know the damn turnip sales.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. I want to catch some rare fish. That is exactly what I'm looking for. I want some rare fish. I want to catch sharks. Like, remember how much fun it was to catch great white sharks and how much money they were worth?
You're bringing me back into a young me, playing that game nonstop, and now you're just getting me more excited, and I gotta wait a freaking month for it to come out. I can't wait.
Well, the good news is that I'm only paying $9 for it. I had an Amazon gift card, so I can't wait. I mean, but the idea of, like, eight people living in a town, I want to see how that works. Like, is it, if you and I are both online, can we interact? Because I remember, on the original one, we could live in the same town, but we had to be in the same memory card. So I wonder if you and, if, let's say, you and I are both playing, can we interact with each other? You know, it's a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I remember the old ways. You'd have to connect your consoles together, and you'll be able to visit each other at the same time. Like, I'm assuming, you know, hopefully, you know, we will be able to play in the same town at the same time. It only makes sense. So I'm hoping it's going to be like that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm really excited. I hope that you don't get to steal anything from me. You know, I definitely don't need you destroying my plants or anything like that.
Walk in there, house, throw shit on the floor.
I hope not. I hope I could get to lock the door, because if you destroy my plants, you know, I might have to start, like, planting weeds around your house or something.
No, we're going to make a beautiful... a beautiful town. We're gonna have to invite just the right people.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Hey, Eddie, you want to be part of our town?
I don't. I think he has the Switch. Maybe. I try to recruit a couple people to our town. Hopefully it works out. Or something. Oh. Did you hear that? That sounded like a knock on our door. So, guys, we will be right back. We are going to bring in our guest of honor. So, we will be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you are just joining us, this is episode 50 of Inner Mom's Basement, the Big 5-0. I am Rage Quit Pat. That is Dan the Pizza Man. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Loch Messes, the basement dwellers, we are here to introduce to the man cave, hey Loch Ness, how are you?
Your Witcher,
and as promised,
valley of plenty.
That was an awesome intro.
As promised, the toss a coin to your Witcher theme song. And Loch, welcome to the man cave. How are you doing?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Got a lot to talk about. We're here to talk about streaming. Of course, we're going to have a debate tonight. Not too big of a debate, but I'm sure everyone is very excited to hear it. And of course, if chat has any questions at the end of the podcast, of course, drop them in chat. We could do a Q&A after that. So, Dan, let's kick it off. What would we like to ask Loch first?
So first, I want to say hello. I know we haven't actually got to talk much, so great seeing you and watching your streams.
Oh, thanks.
So first thing we want to ask is, you know, what got you into gaming and into streaming and all that?
Gaming and streaming is two different times of my life. So gaming would be whenever I was little, I used to sneak into my brother's room whenever he was at practice or anything like that, and I would play his PlayStation that I wasn't allowed to touch. And then we ended up getting a computer and we got The Sims, and I started playing The Sims like crazy. So that's kind of gaming. But I stopped gaming whenever I was in high school and in college. Didn't pick it back up until after college, which is kind of the opposite of how people are. Like, most people start gaming in college and then they stop after college. But I did that backwards. But I had a super rough job. So I played video games every night. So I didn't have to think about it.
What was your go-to game?
Oh, it was the 2015 Battlefront.
Oh, yeah.
I was super good at that game.
You mentioned that in the chat. I think you might be one of the very few that have really enjoyed that game.
Probably. That game meant a lot. It meant a lot to me because it basically just kind of saved me. It helped my brain a lot.
So I have a question. You mentioned you play The Sims. So my question is, did you ever purposely kill The Sims by accident? By accident or on purpose?
Oh, by accident, absolutely.
Definitely by house fires.
House fires, and there were a couple of times where I would take the ladder out of the pool.
Yes.
You know? like, it's just something that... I just would get tired of characters, and I'd be like, I wonder if they're going to turn into a ghost, and I would take the ladder out of the pool.
The funniest story I have for, like, a sim death was I threw a house party, and I decided to put firecrackers in the house, and I took away all the doors, and I just lit the firecrackers in the house, and it was just a... Yeah, it wasn't a very good scene. The firemen could not get into the house, and it was a... let's just say poor Sims and my neighbors.
Oh my God, that's dark.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's real dark. I didn't mean to make the podcast or this conversation dark, but we were just talking about offing Sims.
You killed the whole neighborhood?
No, I wouldn't say the whole neighborhood. I don't know how many people.
All the neighbors at the party.
Yeah. whoever was at the party. I don't know. I mean, do you remember the Goth family? I mean, they were in
Mortimer. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just say that I don't know if the Goth family made it out from what I remember.
Oh man. I think that like the Goth family is still, I mean, it's like Sims like lore. Like you still have the Goth family in every Sims game. They just get older and stuff.
Yeah. My goal was always to marry the daughter of the Goth family, and I accomplished that a couple times, but then I decided to move on to greener pastures.
Oh my gosh!
I love
The Sims was an amazing game. That game. I remember walking into my friend's house and he was playing, and I'm like, "What the hell is this?" And he's like, "It's The Sims." And I'm like, "What do?" He's like, "You live a life," and I'm like, "Oh, so you mean I get to live a life I'm not going to live in real life? Awesome! I want to play it."
Everybody is always like, why would you want to play The Sims? You just have to make your Sims go to work and, like, cook and just do real life things. Sleep. And I'm like, yeah, but I have cheat codes and
yes,
I can't have cheat codes in real life. So
I really wish I could type in mother load every single day and have $100,000 in my bank account.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
That game was all about the cheating. Just get myself $1 million and build the biggest house.
Yep.
And I wanted to touch on Battlefront as well. You know, being a big fan of the older games, I'm not ashamed to say I was really disappointed in the newer games. What did you love about the 2015 Battlefront?
Well, I didn't play the older games, so I don't know. I didn't play the older games. I didn't get in, which is crazy. I didn't get into Star Wars until like I was in college. I think it's just because we didn't have the movies growing up or anything like that. Like my dad liked Star Trek a lot, but we didn't watch Star Wars. So I got into the games kind of late. So I didn't get to play any of the earlier games, but the 2015 Battlefront, for me, that was a time whenever I was doing a Star Wars podcast. And so I got the game to cover the game for the podcast. And I don't even know. I just love any kind of... What is the game mode called? See, I can't even think of it now.
Galactic
the game mode.
Conquest?
No, but that was fun. I just like the game mode where I could kill people and be top of the leaderboard. What is it called? Man, I'm a really bad gamer.
Battlefront wasn't my game.
I haven't played it for a hot minute, so all I remember was Galactic Conquest.
It was like assault. Yeah, like an assault mode or something like that. But I don't know. It's probably the only shooter game that I ever got really good at anyways. So I think that kind of meant something to me also is because I was like, you know, top of the leaderboards, like every single match. So I felt proud of myself and it was an escape really just for what was happening in like in my professional life at that point in time.
Yeah, it definitely was a good, you know, I will give it this, that it definitely was a good pick up and play shooter. So if you know, kind of looking at it as like that aspect, it definitely was a good game in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
When did you officially start streaming? Have you always been on Mixer or did you start Twitch? Like, where you started?
I started on Twitch. I started on Twitch in 2017, in like October 2017. And I didn't move to Mixer until a year ago, like until January 2019. So I was on Twitch for a while before that. And yeah.
So this is kind of the follow-up question into that. I've been on your stream and you talk about when you streamed to Twitch a couple times. I just kind of want to know let our everyone know kind of a little bit of the backstory, if you can. Your time streaming on Twitch, and when did you decide, I'm going to switch over to Mixer? I know you briefly have told us that you've kind of compared the WoW on Twitch, and then you looked at it at Mixer and you switched over. Mm-hmm. But when did you officially decide when it was time to switch?
Well, whenever I very first started streaming on Twitch, I did not play WoW. Some of my favorite Twitch streamers were WoW streamers, and I knew about the game, but I actually played PUBG, which is really weird to think about, but I didn't play it in like a competitive way. I more just like trolled in PUBG, and like it was more of a comedy stream where I would just run people over.
That's great.
Hide in bushes, stuff like that. So that's what I started out doing. And then I started that was like in October of 2017, and then January 2018 I tried WoW for like the third time, and it stuck. I got really obsessed with it really quickly, and then I lost like all of my viewers who wanted to watch PUBG, you know. And I mean, I don't blame them. Like, they were there because I had basically a PUBG centered community, you know? And then whenever I switched to WoW, they were like, we don't play this. Why are we even here? And I was like, I don't know. Why are you here? And then it's so weird because I started getting really obsessed with WoW. I was not good at WoW. I'm still not good at WoW. But I really loved it. And the WoW community on Twitch, and I think that this can be anywhere, they really made me feel bad about myself playing WoW. Like, I had just a lot of trolls. I was trying to learn the game, and I wasn't having fun trying to learn the game, but I was having fun playing the game off of stream. So I ended up taking a 6-month break to get good at WoW, or to try to get good at WoW, and to learn how to play, because I fell in love with the game. And I came back to Twitch in like the fall of 2018, and it just still felt off. Like something, I don't know, it just still didn't feel right. And then in December, I kind of got burned out with streaming altogether. And I was like, I just don't think I'm supposed to be on Twitch. Like, I had been talking about Mixer for like a year at that point, but I knew that there was no WoW community. And then it just kind of hit me one night that for my happiness, I needed to try something different and move and see if I could make something happen for myself. So that's kind of... Then in January 2019, on the 3rd, I did a Mixer test stream, and have been here ever since. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really, really good community. I love the community, and I like the fun conversations that we have in the Discord and in the chat and everything like that, too. It's definitely a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Was that around, were you working as well? Were you working full time when you were on Twitch, or were you a full time streamer at that time as well?
Oh, I was a full time graphic designer for a marketing company for like basically up until August of 2019.
Okay.
So yeah, I went full time like August like 28th or something like that of 2019. So yeah, I was had a full-time job and then was basically part-time streaming. But once I moved to Mixer, I was spending about 70 hours a week between my full-time job and also streaming. Not all of that was going towards stream, but I was just working on everything a lot harder, from social media to doing research to trying to, you know, just learn every single thing I could. And so it ended up being, I was putting a lot of time into both streaming and my full-time job. And of course, my full-time job wasn't where I wanted to put my time. You know, I just kind of had to. But yeah, but then in August, I got to go full-time with content creation.
That must have been a great feeling, putting in your 2 weeks and being like, peace.
I didn't give them a 2 weeks.
Oh, then did you give them the double bird, like, peace?
Basically.
I mean, that's the dream, right? Just give them the double bird and like, bye. Bye, Felicia.
I had to be, you know, of course, I've known them for, I had known my bosses since I was in like first grade. But things had just kind of gotten rough and my mental health had gotten rough. And the only thing that was helping it was streaming and my community. But also my husband still works for them. So we worked together. Right. So we worked from home. So, you know, I was nice.
Well, hey, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
I tried to be nice. How's that?
Okay. There you go.
We'll say that.
So really off topic of video games, you mentioned you like Star Wars. So I'd have to ask, did you enjoy Mandalorian?
Yes.
Are you excited for season two?
Yes.
Are you picking up any child toys or memorabilia?
I thought you just said, are you picking up any child? And I was like, whoa.
There's two different ways. There's Baby Yoda or there's the child. A lot of the marketing.
We got like the replica Baby Yoda.
Yeah. I'm going with what the marketing says. I'm going with the child.
I don't like, I mean, we all call him Baby Yoda, but it bothers me really bad to call Baby Yoda Baby Yoda, so the child is good.
So what do you call it?
Me?
Yeah.
I call it Baby Yoda. Like
a child from the Mandalorian.
Every single time I say it, I'm like, oh, it bothers me. I know that's not who that is. Like, I know it, but I even like, I like made a tweet once. It was like, guys, it's not Baby Yoda. It's like, just so everybody knows. And everybody was like, we know, we just don't know what to call it. And I was like, okay, I'll join this. Like, but no, I haven't gotten anything. I would like, there's that Funko Pop, you know, but is it like sold out?
They keep putting it back up here and there. I would definitely keep checking Amazon.
Yeah. I had to take it out of my wish list because it was just never in stock. And I was like,
yeah,
never going to be there.
What was crazy is I thought that they would pump out that stuff during the holidays.
Yeah.
But everything is like pushed back to like May or June. I'm like, this makes no sense. But now it kind of makes sense because season two is right around October. So maybe they get those summer sales in, I guess.
Well, I haven't purchased anything yet, but I also haven't been to Disney World since The Mandalorian came out. So, like, I'll probably be picking up any merch that they have there.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, I believe, what is it, Galaxy's Edge? I'm sure they have a whole bunch of Mandalorian merch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, another question that we have, you know, you being as a mixer partner and everything, you know, kind of go back and forth. Dan and I go back and forth with this, and you know, we've never asked this question before. Do you think, you know, similar to Twitch's affiliate program? Now, I'm not going to say it should be like Twitch's affiliate program because my grandmother could be a Twitch affiliate. Do you think Mixer should have maybe some type of affiliate program under partner?
Well, they have Mixer monetization, so. I think that's what they're wanting to move towards with Mixer monetization. They just don't want to title it an affiliate program because I've heard them say specifically, you know, we're not in the business of copying and pasting things from other platforms to Mixer. We want to be different and we want to offer different things. So I do think that it will eventually be crucial for people who are not partnered to be able to monetize on Mixer. And I think that they're going in the a step in the right direction with offering Embers. I would not be surprised to see, you know, subs and all of that also happen. But I don't think it will ever be called Mixer Affiliate. I think it will still just be Mixer Monetization.
Yeah, no, I don't want anyone to think that I'm dissing Twitch affiliates or anything like that. And, you know, don't get me wrong, there are some Twitch affiliates that I enjoy watching more than I watch Twitch partners. I'm not dissing anybody. I'm just saying that, you know, I think Twitch affiliate is very easy to get. That's all I'm saying. I'm not dissing anybody or anything like that. So I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get. Also, getting monetized on Mixer is easy to get. But I think it's what you do with it after you get it that's important, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just, you know, I was just curious to see how you kind of felt on. I know some people have that mindset if they switch to Mixer, it's partner or nothing, which I don't think is true. I just wanted to, you know, get your feeling on it.
Yeah.
Because I have talked to some people on Twitch, and some are very close minded, and they're just kind of like, oh well, Mixer is just partner or nothing, which is far from the truth.
I think that. That will change. I think they're taking steps to making that change with the monetization program that we have currently. So that's, you know, I do think that more things will be offered, and I think more people will be able to monetize and make money on Mixer just like they can on Twitch. I really don't like the mindset that like partner is like the all end all of any platform. Because once you get partnered, you still have to work just as hard as you were working before you got partnered, you know? So I don't know. Did I answer the question? Maybe.
No, that was good.
No, it's fine. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. Like I said, I just, you know, some people on Twitch are definitely a little bit close-minded, and it's kind of like, well, I don't want to go to Mixer because there's no, you know, quote-unquote affiliate program. It's partner or nothing, you know. That's so I just wanted to kind of hear your opinion on that and, you know, everything like that. And it you know, definitely, I don't, you know, we don't believe that it's partner and nothing on Mixer. I definitely think it's growing. Just kind of add on to that really quick. Do you think variety streaming is starting to pick up a little bit more as a WoW streamer? You know, variety streaming. Do you think that's picking up a little bit more on Mixer as well?
Yes, absolutely. I will say that, like, I don't know why people say that variety streamers on Mixer aren't a thing, because I have so many friends who are partnered who are straight up variety streamers. So I just feel like people aren't looking, they're only seeing what they think that they want to see, and they want to talk bad about the platform because that's just what they want to do. They're not actually looking. It's like, for example, if someone says, oh, there's no one streaming WoW on Mixer, and they look at 2 o'clock on a Monday and they're missing the entire community that streams every night. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that variety streaming and PC games and everything else, I think it's all just growing. And it's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, definitely. What my favorite thing, you know, about watching you is that you are a variety streamer. I tended, and you know, the other streamers I watch is that they're variety streamers. It's definitely a breath of fresh air to see somebody not playing Apex Legends or Fortnite. Mm-hmm. So, and also your personality as well, dude. You have a great personality, great community. So that's definitely also what, you know, drove us to your stream. And of course the lock, you know, of course, you know, my favorite lock emote. I'll actually purposely, put it, in the chat right now because it is the.
I think it's like way too hard to play one single game these days. There's too many good games to play, and how can you just play one game and stream one game all day? Maybe. I don't know, man. I mean, just in general.
Yeah. Well, for the past, I don't know, two. Like, I wouldn't consider myself a variety streamer. I would consider myself a World of Warcraft streamer. But World of Warcraft is something on Mixer that is definitely a rare thing. But cause to me, variety is like you play different games depending on, you know, what's coming out or what's new or what you're interested in, your mood. Yeah, but like I feel like if you're at least 60%, like if you're streaming for 60% of like your weekly stream schedule, if you're streaming one game for that 60%, then that is like your bread and butter, if that makes sense. So WoW is definitely, yeah, your niche. Yeah, it would be your niche. But I think that the past, I mean, definitely since the beginning of the year, I don't even know if I've played another. I think I played Overwatch one night for 2 hours, and every night's been WoW. So I think I've also had like just some web show and just like some just chatting streams and stuff like that. But
So I see something in your background there. Is that a Squidward, a dancing Squidward?
It's, oh my gosh. It's
I noticed that yesterday.
Bold and Brash. Like, so you know in the episode of SpongeBob where Squidward has the art school and he's
that's the best episode. That episode is awesome. I love that episode.
And like SpongeBob comes in and he's like just straight up like makes a masterpiece and Squidward's like, "Oh, I have Bold and Brash," and the art critic is like, "Morlock belongs in the trash." You know, that's Bold and Brash back there. So
well, I love it. That's the first thing I saw. I'm like, is that Squidward? And I've been thinking about it the whole entire time.
Yeah, he like, hang on. Yeah, see.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I kind of need one in my life.
I have a friend. Driggsy. He streams on Mixer. He has it in his bathroom, and he posted a photo of it. It's like above his toilet. And I was like, send me the link. Just send me the link now. And then my husband got it for me for our anniversary. Well,
that is so fancy.
That is an awesome gift. Anything SpongeBob is an awesome gift.
I agree. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, Bolden Brush.
Whoops. All right, so as a World of Warcraft streamer, how do you like the community? Like, you know, you've been playing for a while. You know, has the community treated you well? You know, what do you love about it? Have you been playing WoW Classic lately?
Oh. My community on Mixer is amazing. And I love them so freaking much. I like the Mixer WoW community to me is the best WoW community that I've found. Compared to YouTube and Twitch and, you know, just like that sort of thing. But I played a couple weeks of Classic and it was really rough.
It is so much rougher than how it is now.
I played like I got to level like 27. And it got where I was just dreading streaming it because so many people have opinions and I felt like I couldn't enjoy the game. Like my community that was already there, they were letting me experience it, enjoy it and all that kind of stuff and play however I wanted to play. But the new people that it attracted, just most of them, there are some gems that I got out of it, but most of them made the experience not fun. So I stopped streaming WoW Classic.
Yeah, when I was playing WoW Classic and then I remembered there's no flying mounts. I was like, I don't want to play this anymore. That's all I forgot about that.
Yeah. Mounts are my favorite. Like, I started playing WoW so I could collect mounts. So WoW Classic, it immediately lost like 50% of the like love that I have for WoW because I love my mounts. So I was just like, well, I can't have mounts, so I'm not really going to care about this. But
yeah, no flying mounts. I can't play it anymore. You get so used to how WoW is now. Mm-hmm. I can never go back to Classic.
Yeah. And I didn't play Classic or Vanilla WoW, so I didn't have that need to go back. Like, I want to go back to Legion because I started during Legion. But I don't, you know, that's what I miss because that's whenever I started. But everybody who started during Vanilla or Classic, like, they want to go back because that's what they miss. So, like, I like that there is an option for both because there are just so many different types of players and different types of people. So it kind of gives everybody an option.
Yeah, I see that a lot of people start on Lich King, actually. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I know started on Lich King. I started back when it first came out, played for a little while. It's a game I was never able to get into, like, on a daily basis. It took forever to level. Forever. I couldn't do it. So I give you props for that.
Oh, leveling is my least favorite thing in WoW. So, you know, collecting is my favorite. Leveling is definitely my least favorite. I would rather do the same dailies every day than like level for 2 months.
Yeah. Another thing that I've heard about you, which is quite upsetting.
Hold on.
Is
oh no!
As the pizza man, as Dan the pizza man.
No.
Everyone, here we go. This is what we all been waiting for. I'm sorry, Dan. As the pizza man, take it away.
I am quite upset that there are people in this world that think pineapple goes on pizza.
Why?
I'm not sorry.
Defend it. Defend it right now.
Even the greatest chef in the world says it doesn't belong on pizza. That should be enough.
Locke, you have the floor. Defend why you think pineapples go on pizza.
Okay. It's a flavor balance. Have you ever watched Salt, Acid, Heat?
No.
Or whatever it's called, that show that like talks about balancing flavors. Yeah, like sweet and salty. It's a thing. It's totally a thing. And I'm not saying that I just straight up eat a pizza with only pineapple on it. Like, I want pineapple, jalapenos, and like pepperoni or chicken.
All at one?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
It's good.
You're getting the sweet of pineapple, you're getting the spice of jalapenos and the greatest taste of pepperoni.
The salty of pepperoni, yeah.
Oh, no.
That is some very weird taste bud mixture right there. I'm not going to be like, what the hell is going on?
What have you done, Locke? Locke, what have you done?
Also, just like chicken, just straight like chicken and pineapple with barbecue sauce.
The only thing I can do with pineapple is I can grill some pineapple and eat grilled pineapple. That's delicious. But never mixed with my sauce or my cheese. You know a pineapple on pizza? It's good if you take away the dough, the sauce, the cheese. Perfect.
Everything but the pineapple. Oh my gosh.
What we're going to do is, Locke, we are going to send you a nice New Jersey pizza. And you'll...
How will I get it and eat it?
We'll figure it out.
It might be a little cold, maybe a little hard.
We'll send it FedEx priority overnight.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I like cold pizza too, so that's fun if it's cold.
I like cold pizza. That's acceptable.
Yeah. So we're still on the topic of pizza. I do not like cold pizza. I need to put that in the microwave for about 45 seconds and get it nice. Nice and hot again. I cannot eat a cold pizza. I don't know. I can't enjoy it.
I don't own a microwave.
Oh, well.
So I don't know. I love
I definitely accept cold pizza. So that's approved. But the pineapple, take it off. It'll change your life forever. I promise.
I mean, I like any kind of pizza. That's my problem. Except for anchovies. I don't like anchovies on pizza.
Yeah, anchovies are pretty. Yeah.
But I mean, supreme. I don't even like olives, and I'll eat olives on pizza.
Oh, I love olives on pizza. Black only.
I don't know. I think pizza is just one of the best foods, so I'll basically eat anything on it.
I can agree with you there. Pizza is definitely one of the best. All right, so I'm going to ask you really quickly. You have to get rid of one. Burgers, wings, pizza, or tacos?
Tacos.
Whoa.
Oh. It's a tough choice, but you said that rather quickly.
Yeah, I was like, please say tacos. Please say tacos.
Oh, my gosh.
What has tacos done to you?
No, I mean, nothing. I really love wings. I really love pizza. And I really, really love burgers. And tacos, I'm just kind of like, eh. So it wasn't
difficult. That is a tough one. That is a tough one. I think I'll get rid of wings.
The problem is if we get rid of tacos, unfortunately, Taco Bell is gone. That's the unfortunate news. I know.
Well, that could be Burrito Bell.
Does a burrito count as a taco, though? I mean,
no. No. I mean,
it's pretty close.
I love burritos. Burritos are their own thing.
I think we might have to start a debate here. I mean, what does Chad think? Is a burrito a taco? I mean, isn't it a wrap?
No, please. There was a... Okay.
Everybody's agreeing with me.
Damn, we're going to ask you something really quickly. Is cereal soup?
Oh, no. Why did you bring this up?
I had to because he wasn't... He needs to hear this because I think it's utterly ridiculous that somebody thinks that cereal soup, unless they're trolling.
I agree.
I mean... Technically speaking,
no.
What
are you saying?
But do I count as a soup? No. But technically speaking, it's a soup.
No, it's not. How is it a soup?
If cereal is a soup, then any drink with ice cubes in it is also a soup.
Yeah. How is that? There's no way. It's not even close to being a soup.
You can put water in a bowl and using a spoon to pick it up. It's a soup. You pick up something with a spoon.
No, it's not.
It's a soup.
You're putting milk in it, though. Milk is. Oh, you're right. Why did I bring this up?
Why did
I bring
it up? Why did you stress me out?
You are absolutely right. Why did I bring that up? Chat, also, if you guys have any Q&A, we're going to open that up as well while we're talking about all this stuff. If you have any questions for Locke, drop them in the chat. But what were we talking about? Burritos, a sandwich, cereal, a soup. I mean,
burritos not a sandwich.
Burritos are not sandwiches.
Well, no, we were talking about, is a burrito a taco?
A burrito is its own thing.
Yeah, burrito's its own thing. I agree with that.
It's used the same wrap, though. I mean, come on. It's just a different shape.
Well, whenever I think of tacos, I think of, like, hard-shelled tacos.
No way. I don't even like hard-shelled tacos. Soft tacos all the way.
That's why I was just like, tacos, get tacos out of here, because I literally can only think of hard-shelled
tacos. What about soft-shelled tacos?
Only soft.
If it's a soft shell taco, then I'll just roll it more and make it a burrito.
I mean, technically, isn't a soft shell taco a burrito in it? I mean, it's soft and it rolls.
I mean, if you roll it a certain way, I think it's a burrito.
Oh my! I'm actually getting hungry for this during this conversation. I just ate
too.
No, it's all right. Well, we promoted that we were going to bring up pineapple on pizza, but then it went into tacos and everything like that. So, I mean, that's perfectly fine by me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
I do like how you have your subtitles on your top, on the top corner. I like that a lot because I like to read subtitles rather than listen when I'm at work.
Yeah.
I don't see many people do that, and I like that.
Thank you. I was told that if I put them on the top, it wouldn't be as distracting. Gosh, they're using commands. That it wouldn't be as distracting as it would be across the bottom for everybody else. So I'll put them up there.
I like that. Thank you for looking out for the people who have no sound.
Yeah, no problem.
Did you have any questions, Locke? I know I threw that out there in the Discord a couple days ago if you had any questions.
How are you guys liking Mixer?
Well, we originally started on Mixer, and then we went to Twitch, and then we came back to Mixer. I mean, I think we felt that the Mixer community is definitely a lot nicer and more friendly, and you know, they build a better community. So I think we have a lot of Twitch friends. Don't get me wrong, we've met a lot of them in real life, and we have great connections with them. But at the end of the day, I felt like the Mixer community is really well put together and very supportive, and we love them. We love them all.
Yeah, to kind of feed off that as well, definitely when we first started on Mixer, it definitely was a really good experience because, you know, we stream heavily on Rainbow Six, and I think the community is a little bit, yeah, as Dan said, a little bit nicer on Mixer. The only flack with streaming Rainbow Six is, of course, occasionally maybe I'll get the people that just kind of come in and like, hey, can I play?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, look, this isn't an open lobby. You know, I only play with people, you know, I only play with my friends, or I play with people who, you know, come to the stream to actually watch me and enjoy the stream, not just to come on and be like, hey, can I play with you, please?
Yeah. I think that you get that on both platforms, though.
Yeah, it was just also much better on Mixer. You know, Twitch, there's a lot of powerhouses on Twitch. You have Macy Jet. You have a lot of the big seed streamers are on Twitch, so... and then also just being a Twitch affiliate, we were like kind of handcuffed to what we could stream to. What we like on Mixers, we could stream to Facebook, you know, YouTube as well. We didn't have that handcuff on Mixer like we did with Twitch, where we had to wait like 24 hours or so to stream on a different platform. So, and then we got to meet you as well. So, you know, I met a lot of, definitely been meeting a lot of great people, you as well, and I've, you know, we've joined a lot of really good communities.
I do think that Mixer just has some of the best communities out there. Just every day I'm on this platform, I feel like I just see I meet so many nice people, so many kind people, and I don't know, it just makes me really, really happy, because you think of streaming as being kind of like a toxic environment, or it can be, and then you come here and it's just like fresh air. So
what's crazy is a lot of the, you know, what's crazy with like streaming and meeting everyone and stuff like that too, I get the, you know, the way I feel is that like we're all friends, you know, even though we haven't really met each other in real life, like we're all like friends. We all joke with each other. We all have like funny moments together and stuff like that. Like it's fun. It's like, you know, that's the way I always look at it too.
Sorry. They're talking about me, ignoring them. I see you guys.
Yeah.
they're like, she's ignoring
me. I actually just took a glimpse of what they were saying. I was like, oh goodness. But yeah, it's definitely been, a breath of fresh air switching back over to Mixer. And, you know, as Dan said too, we do still have a lot of friends on Twitch, but definitely switching over to Mixer has been, you know, awesome. And we're happy to be back.
We're happy to have you guys here. I noticed your profile had the beam icon, because like the little golden,
original beam member. Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
I've been with Mixer for a super long time. not beans.
Yeah, beam.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love being back. Dan loves being back, and also we kind of want to. We feel it's better for the podcast too to be on Mixer.
Yeah, all we need is our damn name. Mixer, give us our name, please.
So I don't think I ever told you this, Locke. So we put in for Inner Mom's Basement. Apparently somebody had it, so that's why, you know, we have the one. And then we looked at that account. They're not using the account. Mm-hmm. And Dan emailed them like, hey, this person's not using the damn account. Can we use it? What did they say, Dan? Like something like no or something like that?
No, we can't yet. We have to like do a whole bunch of stuff and stuff. I don't know.
I've been going through all of that with just the name Loch Ness too. Because on Twitch, I was just Loch Ness, and then there's a Loch Ness here, but it's not being used.
So that's ridiculous. Mixer should be like, all right, they're not using it. It's all yours.
They have to go through this whole process, though, and Twitch has to do the same exact thing. Twitch just released a bunch of Justin TV names, not like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And that's how I actually got Loch Ness there, was like they sent out that email and I just instantly grabbed it. But I wish that they would release maybe some older names on Mixer one day. So I can
that would be wonderful.
It.
Would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So watch your emails, because you never know.
My eyes are always on the email. I'm waiting. If you hear us, Mixer, release those inactive names.
Yes, please. Come on, Mixer. We need our names so no one go. Sometimes when I go into a stream, everyone's like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" N Mom's Basement. I'm like, no, it's the N. It's N. I'm so sorry that the one is there.
I mean, I could read it. It was fine. I always just get confused because I'm like, "Is it Pat?" Is this Pat? Because I know it's both of you. So I never know who I'm talking to. But that's the same, like.
Yeah, I have a lot of keywords where you could definitely know it's me.
If you come in and you spam that one emote, then like that's
me.
That's pretty much.
I'm sorry, that emote's my favorite. But if you add the angry lock, if that pops in, that's gonna be all over the stream.
Oh my gosh.
All over the place. As it is your Discord. Anytime I'm able to chat in your Discord, it's either Angry Lock or the other Lock face.
they're fun. They're super fun.
It's just a lot. The expressions pertain to real life, so that's why.
Oh my gosh!
But we're gonna go ahead and get ready to end the podcast. Of course, our final question, which we always ask this. For Locke, so for the what would be your best advice for, you know, new streamers looking to stream, or some smaller streamers? What would be your best advice?
So specifically on Mixer or just anywhere?
In general.
Just in general.
Okay. I have a couple things. Make sure you have a Twitter and that your Twitter handle matches your streamer name. And make sure you are getting to know the people that are streaming the games and that are in the communities that you want to be a part of, or that you want to build or create. So those things.
All righty.
And whenever you can, post really short clips to Twitter. Not YouTube, but directly to Twitter.
And just really quickly, you do have a YouTube channel. Do you want to go ahead and plug that in really quickly? What kind of videos you post and everything like that?
Yeah, so I post basically stream advice or stream tips or anything that I've gone through with streaming. I will talk about it on YouTube and give people tips and ideas of how they can grow, how they can make their content better. So basically my YouTube channel is just all about streaming and my journey and helping others with their journey. So, and it's Hey Loch Ness. Everything is Hey Loch Ness. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all of it. So
awesome. 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 And Loch, we do thank you for joining us on our monumental episode 50, the big 50. We do appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Also, happy 50th episode.
Thank you. thank you. So that is going to be it. You could listen to this episode on iTunes, Google, Pandora, and Spotify. And also, Locke, plug in where everyone can find you as well.
I am Hey Loch Ness on Mixer, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram.
All righty. Perfect. All right, guys. Again, thank you so much for the lock messes that have stopped by, and of course the basement dwellers that have stopped by as well. I am Rage Quit Pat. That is Dan the Pizza Man. That is Hey Loch Ness. Everybody have a wonderful evening. Lock, keep kicking ass on WoW, and put down the pineapple pizza.
Oh,
all right, guys.
I need that spot, that Squidward thing, up at all times. I need to see it all day.
Squidward's not going anywhere, just like the pineapple pizza is not going anywhere.
All right, well, I tried. All right, guys, take care.
Bye. Good night.
You've just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a video game podcast with your host Dan Geoffwe and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.